noting today particularly some words in the original that have to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Words that are translated in our King James Version as coming, but very different words altogether in the original. As a scripture for a basis this morning, back to Acts 1, verses 10 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. The first word that I want to call your attention to is found in Matthew 24 and 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And this word here is the word erechomai. And this word covers actually a period of 7 years. This word erechomai covers the events of a period of 7 years. Giving you another illustration of the use of coming over a period of time. In November, on the 8th, I received word, come home immediately, to try to get back there and before my mother passed away. I told them I'm taking a plane Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll get into Little Rock about 4:12, I believe, that afternoon. We will be so tired that we really think it'd be necessary for us to stay in Little Rock and then come on down to Crosses tomorrow. They told me when I got there, they had told my mother that Carl is coming. And all day Sunday and Sunday night, she was asking, has the plane landed in Little Rock yet? Has Gady gotten back from Little Rock? They said, no, not yet, but he's coming. He's coming. Well, it took me, I believe, 23 hours from the time I boarded the plane until I was at the bedside of my mother. I got there in time for her to know who I was, and so on. But in her mind, all of that time, from the time they told her that I was boarding a plane, I was coming. I was coming. And I was coming. But it was about 23 hours involved in my coming. So this word erechomai covers that particular kind of situation. Watch therefore, for you know what, not what hour your Lord doth come, or erechomai. All right. Now, since there is a period of time involved in this, what is the first great event that's involved in this? We notice that Paul tells us that the Lord shall come into the air, that we shall be caught up together with the resurrected dead, that is the righteous living, to meet the Lord in the A. Therefore, that which we call the resurrection and translation involving the term rapture is the first thing that takes place in the Arapama, in the events of his coming. Now, we read in the scriptures in Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit which dwelleth in him. Now this tells us that when the resurrection takes place, it is of a people who have the indwelling spirit of God. And this word here, dwell in you, is the Greek word for homing, or making its home in you, or homing, being housed in you. Now, there are those who would have us to believe that the Holy Spirit only dwells in the church, but not in the believers. Now, let's consider just a moment. There are those who have been saved. They die. The Lord comes into the air, and we noted yesterday from the statement in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep or the dead in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And this word caught up is the word from which our word rapture comes, means a snatching away, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, who are these dead ones that shall be raised? Those who have the Spirit of God, those who have been saved, those who have the indwelling Spirit. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, so shall he make alive your mortal bodies. So the translation and resurrection, both the living who have the Spirit of Christ that he is in, and the dead in which Christ was or is, they shall be raised. Paul tells us in the 1 Corinthians 15, that I show you a secret, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so this incident takes place, the opening thing of the word Arachami, or the beginning of the events of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning there and ending up with his revelation at the Mount of Olives with his saints, with the angels, there to fight the battle of Armageddon and take over the rulership of this world. Now, if the Holy Spirit dwells only in the church somehow and not in the individual members, since the members make the church, A church is a called out congregation of baptized believers covenanted together to promulgate the gospel through the world. So, this is evident then that Christ, who was in the world in whom the whole Godhead was pleased to dwell, Colossians 2:9, Christ, having the Holy Spirit embodied in him during his personal ministry, and that Spirit raising him from the dead, he proved that Holy Spirit can inhabit flesh. And because of that thing, fellas, that is the surety that we shall be raised if we sleep. We shall be changed if we are alive. And caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now let me point up this one thing. I would like to go into it further, but I'll not have time this morning. But if the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation period, since we know that the middle of that tribulation period is when Antichrist is made manifest to the nation of Israel, in the midst of this 7-year period, that would put it about 3.5 years then from the appearance of Antichrist until the rapture would take place. And so you could pretty well account for the days there, couldn't you not? But since we don't know when this first event of Erechimai takes place, therefore the resurrection and translation of the righteous, dead, and living, it becomes the first event of the Erechimai of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the dictionary, Expository Dictionary of the New Testament by W.E. Vine, he says that this word Erechimai is the most frequent verb denoting either to come or to go, signifies the act in contrast to or with heko, which means or stresses the arrival. For instance, I am come and I am here. So that then brings us to the next situation then, and that's the use of this word heko, which literally means the time that he arrives, the moment he arrives. Now, using my illustration that I used a while ago, at about 20 minutes after 11 o'clock on November the 10th, I arrived at the bedside of my mother. That was the instant of arrival. And so we read in Luke 12:46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And that word there, that's translated come, is the word hekai, or meaning the instant. We could say the Lord of that servant will come in an instant, or the instant of his coming in that day. So that lets us know then that there are more words involved in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24:50, we read again, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day, or arrive in that instant that he thinks not. All right, now, we go to another word involving the coming of Christ, words which are translated coming in the King James Version. And we find that word in Matthew 24, verses 27, 37, and 39. And that's the word parousia. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, or so shall the body presence of the Son of Man be when he is revealed, veil taken off, the apocalypse to the world. They will see him body present. And when we meet the Lord in the air, there we will, the Lord will be present in body with us. And that word is translated coming, but it means the body presence. And this word was used in one of the writings of that day where a woman wrote relative to a deed that she had to some of her property, and she said it would be necessary for her parousia in order to take care of that matter, which meant that she was going to have to be present in a body. We have another writing of that period that where a fellow was inviting another person to come to his home, and he said, we have some fowls fattening for your coming or your parousia, body presence. And so as the world, and many teach today that, oh, the Lord came in 1914, and they've had to change that so many different times, you know, and some of them say, oh, the Lord isn't actually going to come in body after all. Yes, he's coming, and we read also in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming or the parousia of the Son of Man. All right. We even have a passage in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 referring to the Antichrist, which says, even him whose coming or body present, parousia, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. All right. We've noted now the word erechomai, the coming, covering a period of time. We notice the word hikai, which means the instance of arrival. Now, something else is going to occur with reference to those who are raised, changed, and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we notice that that is the word epiphania in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the word of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, or the bright shining of his coming. I mentioned yesterday the passage of scripture that has to do with the kings of the earth and the great men and the captains and crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him when they see his point of arrival at the Mount of Olives, which will be his body presence, and the appearance of that will be a great shining forth to the world. As the lightning are as light that comes out of the east and shines all the way to the west. And Christ went on to say that if they say he's in the desert place or this place or other place, don't believe it. Because as the lightning shines, so shall be the body presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this epiphania. Now, there is this aspect of it with reference to his saints. In 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 8, we have these words. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And that word appearing there is the epiphania, and that has to do with the glorification that takes place of those who are changed, those who are resurrected when they meet the Lord in the air. A bright shining forth that comes to them at the appearing of Christ, or the taking away of the veil from Christ when we meet him in the air. This event is unperceived largely by the world. The angel said, the same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. How many saw the Lord go up? Not very many. The world didn't see it. And the world became aware of that situation really on the day of Pentecost, when the empowering Christ sent the Holy Spirit, empowering them to witness unto the ends of the earth through all the ages, beginning in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We read in 1 Peter again, verses 7 and 13, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory at the appearance or the revelation or the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the time then when the epiphany or the shining forth in rewards and glorification takes place for those saints who meet the Lord in the air. Now, we have another word. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, and that particular word there is the word doxa, which means a bright shining forth. It has to do with the appearance of that Christ to those who meet in the air. And as he then shines upon those saints in rewards and in their glorification, so on, brings them to the state that they will be in from that time on forevermore. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we shall be in that condition throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So The Lord is coming. We covered the scriptures yesterday on the various witnesses to the fact that he is coming. Today we've covered some of the words that are involved in that coming as it pertains both to the saints and also to the world at the end of the Arachamai, when the events of his Arachamai have been complete. Now, you might say, just what is the practical point of all this that I'm trying to give you? Well, the Lord is coming. But instead of us going somewhere up on a mountain and getting us some ascension robes, you know, and put on and stand around up there, there's something for us to do down here.
Amen.
The Lord comes to us veiled in many respects down here. And I want to read a poem to you in closing that illustrates this particular thing. The Master is coming. They said the Master is coming to honor the town today, and none can tell in what house or home the Master will choose to stay. And I thought while my heart beat wildly that if I should call, what if you should call at mine? How would I strive to honor and entertain the guest divine? And straightway I went to toiling to make my home more neat. I swept and polished and garnished and decked it with blossoms sweet. I was troubled for fear the Master might come ere my task was done. So I hastened and worked the faster and watched with purring sun. But right in the midst of my duties, a woman came to my door. She had come to tell me her sorrow and my comfort and aid to implore. And I said, I cannot listen or help you any today. I'm looking for a greater and nobler guest. And the woman went away. But soon there came another, a cripple, old and gray, and said, oh, let me rest a while at your home, I pray. And said, oh, let me rest a while as I travel far since. I've traveled far since morning. I'm hungry, weak. I'm hungry, faint, and weak. And I said, I cannot listen or help you today. I'm looking for a greater and nobler guest. And the pleader went away. And the day wore onward swiftly, and my task was nearly done. And a prayer was ever in my heart that the Master might yet come. And I thought I should spring to meet him and treat him with the utmost care. When a little child stood by me with a face so sweet and fair, sweet but with marks of teardrops, and his clothes were tattered and old, a finger was bruised and bleeding, and his little bare feet were cold. And I said, I'm sorry for you. You are sorely in need of care, but I cannot stop to give it. You must hasten other way. And at the word, a shadow swept over the blue vein and brow. Someone will clothe you and feed you, dear, but I'm too busy now. At last the day was ended. My toil was over and done. My house was swept and garnished, and I watched in the dusk alone. Watch, but no footfall sounded. No one paused at my gate. No one entered my cottage door. I could only pray and wait. I waited till night had deepened and the Master had not come. He has entered some other door, I cried, and gladdened some other home. My labors have been for nothing, and I bowed my head and wept. My heart was sore with longing, yet in spite of it all, I slept. Then the Master stood before me, and his face was grave and faded. Three times today I've come to your door and craved your pity and care. Three times today you've sent me onward uncared for, and the blessing you might have received is lost, and your chance to serve is fled. The poor you have always with you. They are ever in need of a friend. And as oft as you give them food to eat, these gifts to your master you lend. Whenever you give them cold water or whatever they need, you're aiding not only my little ones, but you're also helping me. Oh Lord, dear Lord, forgive me. How could I know it was thee? My very soul was shamed and bowed in the depths of humility. And he said, the sin is pardoned, but the blessing is lost to thee. For failing to comfort the least of mine, you have failed to comfort me. And it's the fulfillment of this that brings the epiphania, the bright shining of him who shall appear in the great joke shop. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Don't go yet.